Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. And today is September the 9th, 2021. Glad to have you all here. And it's great. And Anna L. from France, welcome. Nice to have international people from all over the world on our call. And you know, June in Texas and John in Nebraska and people from all over the United States on the call too, or listening, perhaps listening in. So today we wanted to talk about sports psychology coaching for athletes with injuries or physical challenges. I know we've just had the Paralympics that went on the last 2 weeks in Tokyo, the 2021 Paralympics, and so I know because of all the other world events and the pandemic, it didn't get as much coverage as it would normally, but if you can still go to, search on YouTube or Google or any place to online to search on the Paralympics and just see so much inspiration there, encourage you to just sometime, not now, but of course after our call to, search on top, inspirational moments from the Paralympics, that kind of thing. And it's just so motivating and incredible, some of the things that you'll see there, athletes with, missing limbs and you see one athlete, has no left arm, no left leg, nothing on the left side, and yet he's riding a bicycle very fast around a track, track racing, with balancing the bike with just the right arm and right leg. It's just such an amazing thing to see what these athletes can do. It gives you perspective on how they can, in some ways, be even more mentally stable than the able-bodied athletes, because they're able to do so much. So today we wanted to talk about performing edge coaches, all of you working with athletes who might be injured or disabled in some way, and it could be something that's temporary, like an injury, or something that's more more permanent. Either way, people, we all need to look at the mental aspect of our performance and look at what are the special needs of athletes with disabilities and how to work with Paralympians, the mental and physical concerns. So we can look at athletes who are competing in competed in these Paralympics or ones coming up, the next ones. Or there's many other sorts of events like this, too, for disabled athletes, and how they're negotiating the COVID environment, different types of athletic disabilities. There's ones that are seen, like loss of a limb, and then there's lots of hidden disabilities like, mental challenges or things, or nervous system issues that we might not see. And there's different categories for those competitions, and just get some of the inside stories and lessons from these Paralympians, and then just talk about injuries, how you can work with them, and also noting that the Olympics and the Paralympics just happened, but the next Winter Olympics are only in 6 months from now, 5 or 6 months, and so those will be the Winter Olympics, because these Olympics were postponed for a year, then the next Winter Olympics come very soon afterwards. So you can look at how you might be able to work with Olympic hopefuls or Paralympic hopefuls for the next Winter Olympics, which are coming up very soon. And Paralympians are usually a lot more accessible and really need the help and want the help from people like you, from sports psychology coaches. So we can look at that and then look at what are the learning points from these Paralympics, and how we can apply these strategies, and how, and then you could think about how you have coached athletes who are having a tough time in these Paralympics. So, let's talk about some of those things. And then, of course, the whole mental health issue came forward in the Olympics with Simone Biles, dropping out or withdrawing from the first events due to mental health concerns, and really bringing that to the forefront and opening the door for a lot of other athletes to talk about that. So it's an exciting time for us as sports psychology coaches to be able to address the mental concerns of able-bodied and disabled athletes and the pressures that they're facing and, the risks, like it with gymnastics, if you're fearful, like Simone Biles was, and you get what she called the twisties, get disoriented in the air and can't know where you are in the air, I mean, we're talking about it could be disabling for life. You could fall down and have a spinal cord injury, whereas something like marathon, if you get tired, you just stop, and it's not a big deal, but different sports have different risks involved with them, and you have to be much more mentally aware in certain sports to keep yourself safe. So we can help an athlete know when to keep going or when it's time to withdraw from a sport, right at that time. You could be really part of the forefront of that kind of decision-making. So, Anna L., you're on the call from France. Did you say, did you mention you were working with a new athlete that's doing ping pong? Is that right?
Yes.
How did they find you? How did you come to work with that person?
To do a feedback about the last Olympic game, to see what it worked, what was good, to keep what was good when he played, and then we will work on the lake that he had for the last Olympic game in order to improve for the next Olympic game.
Yeah, that's great. So you can, a past Olympian from the last Olympic Games, you said?
One more time, what did you say?
Did you say he was in the Olympics 4 years ago?
The last Olympic game, which was in Tokyo, he was ready physical, but I think it in his mind he was too much stressing out. I am not sure if it's clear. And he lost a part of his capacity to play well his ping pong.
Okay, yeah. So that's great. You can work with that. And I know you, Anna L., you said you're a specialist in tennis, so ping pong is very similar, just table tennis. Help there with, just the motivation and the mental focus and maybe helping him prepare for the next Olympics and the next, I'm sure there's many competitions in between, right?
Mm.
Yeah, nationals. And is he in France or another country?
Yes, he was in France, but now he's training in another country in Europe, Amsterdam.
Okay.
So I will work a lot with visualization and power word.
Oh, yeah, cool. So that's great. Yeah, so, congratulations on that, being able to work with an Olympian, and you can that can help with when you, after you worked with him, you know, for a little while, you can ask for a quotation, maybe a testimonial, or you can, it's better to call it just a quote, a small quote, a quotation, and have, you know, your work together and ask if that's okay to, you know, put that on your website or social media, and that can help you with finding other athletes to work with too. So, that's great if you have that. Or you can do it with just words, text there, or with audio, you know, just something. Are you working with him in person or by phone or by Zoom?
With Zoom.
Zoom, yeah. So you can, it's easy to get a video testimonial or quotation that way, and you can always record that, yeah. So great. So, yeah, let's congratulations on that, Anna Allen. Any questions you have about that, I'm happy to help with how you can help him to be a best in ping pong. Because it's a very, very mental game. So I want to talk about, you know, dealing with athletes, bouncing back from injury or from a disability, or helping the athlete to adjust to their disability or their any kind of injury they might be going through, and you can help athletes to find the meaningful connection between your injury and your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs. So regardless of how well you plan your training program, there might come a time when your body, you know, your athlete's body is not able to recover quickly enough from workouts, or you end up an athlete can injure themselves either temporarily or in the long term, kind of thing. Both, I'm talking about both types of injuries, short term and long term here, kind of thing. So you can apply this to either one. You know, you might, like an athlete might have suddenly a forced layoff from training while building up to an important event. And there have been, you know, there's all kinds of material written on the physical aspects of recovering from an injury. But, and we all know about, you know, massage and stretching and icing and medications like ibuprofen. But, you know, what about the emotional side? What's going on inside the athlete's head during this period? And so that's the question we want to ask here. How will, you know, if you're not participating, not going to practice, or not spending a great deal of time working on your sport, how does that affect you? And what do you do with all this free time? And begin to realize what that injury might mean to your training and your lifestyle. And I know, of course, during the pandemic, COVID-19, you know, many athletes were not able to train. Maybe they weren't injured physically, but we were all, in a way, injured mentally because many athletes not being able to train in their sport the way they usually do. So that was one form of kind of injury or setback for this last year and a half. So, with the Delta variant now, kind of setting people back again a little bit, begin to realize how much our sport means to us. And so, as an athlete, I've experienced many, you know, injuries and surgeries, have 3 foot surgeries, so I can relay experiences there too of how I got through that and how visualization can really help. So, athletes might find it difficult to adjust to taking time off when they're injured, and it's hard to know how to switch gears, you know, into that recovery mode. And oftentimes athletes, they have ineffective ways of coping with all that extra time on their hands. And, you know, you could see athletes getting depressed or angry or very anxious, nervous, that kind of thing, or resentment. Sometimes there's, in more extreme cases, there's alcohol issues or drug issues. Or overeating or undereating. Sometimes athletes gain weight or they lose weight. So, you know, the question is how can we can help our athletes to turn that injury into a positive learning experience and to return to training as quickly as possible. Or if an athlete cannot return to training, if it is a permanent disabling thing, helping them to adjust to that. So that's what we want to talk about here. And, you know, I want to give you specific tools to so you can help work with your athletes and accelerate the healing process of any injury through that use of visualization and lots of techniques. You know, just picturing your body and how you can return to your sport. You know, in the case of a Paralympian, you know, maybe they've been in a car accident and they don't have, no longer have use of their legs. But you know, we saw in the Paralympics how many sports are involved with wheelchair athletes, so they can't use their legs, but maybe they couldn't do tennis, you know, like NHL, you're coaching tennis players, and maybe they couldn't do that anymore, but you could do wheelchair tennis, and there's so many sports with wheelchair basketball and wheelchair soccer and wheelchair hockey. I mean, you name it, they've got sports that people can do, wheelchair bowling, where even though you don't have the use of legs, you could still participate in sports and be very active. So our task, I think, is to listen. Our bodies have that inner wisdom. They can tell us exactly what we need to do to recover from the injury, but we need to listen to our bodies and have our athletes listen to our bodies. So first I wanted to just relay, you know, when I was had a surgery with a bunion surgery on my foot, I couldn't run for a while. And what I was able to do was difficult to not do those sports. But what I was able to do was, well, realize, look at the long term and realize the surgery is going to be good for me in the long run and help my foot to be more normal again. And so I was able to adapt to that. It was about 3 weeks after during the first 3 weeks after the surgery, I couldn't do, you know, get it wet or be in a pool, but I decided I could just do floor exercises, and that kind of thing was still possible to do. So I did that, and just to try to stay active, you can even crawl around on hands and knees as an exercise. Might sound funny, but it's, you know, you do what you can do because I just couldn't use the foot. And then after, so I was able to do that to keep fit and to keep my weight normal and also to stay motivated. There's also, you know, bicycles where what I did was I took my bicycle that I normally would bike and, of course, couldn't use it after the surgery, but you can turn it upside down, sit the bicycle on the floor, and then you can sit behind it, straddle the bike, and then just pedal and just use the pedals, hand pedals, just using my hands to pedal the bicycle. So it's like hand cycling. I know they also have those machines at gyms now where you just cycle with your hands. So you're getting a really good workout in, and you know, put on music and headset and just kind of go into another world and be able to get that, you know, 30, 45-minute workout without and still get the endorphins in the brain, so you're raising your mood and feel like you're working up a sweat and getting a workout that way. So I was able to stay active that way. And then when 3 weeks went by after you take out the stitches, then you can, and the wound starts to heal. Then, you know, getting in a pool and swimming was one of the most wonderful things. And you know, even though, you know, I could do crutches, no weight bearing on the feet, but I could crutch over to the pool. And as soon as I got in the pool, it was this wonderful feeling of freedom, being able to get in and move around and you know, have a very good workout because I can use my arms and legs and everything, and just and the one leg was okay, and just let the other foot drag along kind of thing while it's still healing. So a swimming pool is usually a wonderful therapy for healing from any kind of injury and for staying motivated. Most athletes who are disabled can still get in a pool. And often pools now have, wheelchair access, so they can get lowered down into a pool with a mechanical chair, so they can get in the pool and do some activities there. And you feel weightless and feel wonderful. So that's a really good option to have. So, that's one example of how you can deal with an injury. And so it kept me from getting depressed, or of course I was anxious but a little bit down, but I was able to get through it, knowing that I was moving forward all the time. And then in time I was able to start to walk, getting off the crutches and walking slowly, and being able to move, walking gradually without the crutches, and then begin cycling and then running. So, and while I was doing that, the whole time I was recovering, I was visualizing every day, and each day I would visualize my foot, and several kinds of visualization. I'd visualize the warmth coming to the foot, so imagine my foot being in warm sand on the beach, so you get a nice visualization of a relaxing place on the beach and the warmth there. And many studies show that if you just visualize being in a warm place, that you can actually warm up your body, and especially your limbs, so you can bring more circulation to the foot, so that helps with accelerating healing. So there's that kind of visualization of imagining warmth there, and then there's the visualization of the healing of the ligaments, the tendons and the ligaments in the foot. So I would imagine bridges being built there where they have the cuts in the bone. You want to imagine strength there, and so I would imagine my foot like rubber bands, so that you got connections that are strong and yet flexible. So, because that's what you need in the foot, is that especially in the toes, you want strength, but you also want flexibility. So I'd imagine myself being able to have that, so that the picture of a rubber band is a really nice one for being able to move well throughout your body, because those ligaments and tendons are really critical, as well as not only the bone healing, but the connective tissue. So I'd visualize that, and then I'd just visualize an overall feeling of health. And this, the third kind of picture, is visualizing yourself getting better and increasing function and being able to move more fluidly, and visualize what it would be like to walk again and to run again after the surgery. So three different kinds of visualization there: one for warmth, to increase circulation, and one for visualize flexibility with tendons and ligaments becoming more flexible, and then an overall body visualization of function, of being able to do to function better in your mind and body, and being able to get back to returning to your sport. And if it's the case of let's say somebody who's has been injured, has a permanent injury and can't do their sport, let's say they're not able to run anymore because of injury to the knee or the leg, then you can help that athlete with being able to change how they do their sport or to change sports. So, for instance, after, I was injured after I won San Francisco Marathon, I couldn't run for 6 months. I had a stress fracture in my right leg, and so it was very difficult to not be able to run. So I took up swimming and bicycling for the next 6 months and got more proficient at bicycling and swimming. And then when I was able to return to running, I put them all three together and I was able to switch sports and then get into the triathlon and get second in the Hawaii Ironman triathlon. So second woman overall, that was in October 82. So it shows how you can help an athlete to help, this applies to yourself if you're injured, or help your athlete clients to be able to adapt and change the way they do their sport or change the sport altogether. You might help an athlete, you know, switch from running to swimming or to cycling or some other sport that doesn't involve so much pounding on the ground. So those are some examples there. Yeah, let me just check in for a moment and see if you have comments or questions on what we talked about so far. Other people, if you're on mute, you can, as a phone, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself. Or yeah, NL. Oh, thanks. I was just going to ask you, NL, since you're on the phone from France, have you been injured yourself, or have you had to go through an injury with yourself or another athlete?
No, but last time I worked with a woman, she was pregnant, so it's not an injury, but it's a kind of same situation because she can't practice her sport the way she would like. She ran. And because she would like going to train, she worked a lot with, and how can I explain? She walked a lot, and she walked very fast, like a sport, but she doesn't run anymore.
Oh, yeah, okay. So she's able to walk fast at least?
Yeah, so I thought about that because you say that when we have got an injury, we can go on to train with another way, such as a bicycle or a swimming. And in that situation, she decided to walk.
Yeah, that's great. So and what sport was she in?
She ran she used to run long distance. You said that? Long distance?
Okay. You create like a marathon?
Yes. Yes. Marathon.
Okay, yeah. That's a good example, helping someone adapt from running to, I mean, walking. You're still using your legs, you're still moving, and you can walk, you know, on trails and still get out into nature and still do and still get a great workout just from walking or walking fast if you can, or walking uphill. So that's the important thing. So yeah, that's great. And thanks for sharing that. And it's good to I think brainstorm with your athletes about what they can do for when you get an injury, and what are the possibilities there. Open their minds to, you know, a lot of us are perfectionists and think, oh, I've got to get back to exactly what I was doing before. But that might be possible, or sometimes it might not be possible to, and it's good to help your athletes to be open to the different possibilities of, you know, kind of let's work with this and have a wait and see attitude and be able to shift gears if you can't do what you were doing before. Or maybe, you know, you can't, an athlete was running really fast and now they're injured, they can't run as fast anymore. And so they have difficulty finding meaning, finding joy in what they're doing. So you can have them help them switch to you know, just age group running, just competing with athletes in their age group as you get older. I've been doing that myself and realizing I can't compete with the top athletes anymore, but I can just compete with people within my own age group. And also, even if you aren't in the top three, just being able to see how well you can do within yourself, competing with yourself, not so much just with other athletes. So, yeah, great. So I wanted to talk now just about how an injury affects your mind and how it's something that is something that that affects us mentally and physically. And so before introducing some tools for healing, here's some things you might want to know about the psychological elements of injury. So the first one is what I call self-blame. And it's easy to get down on yourself and to blame yourself and your body for being injured. And if you're blaming yourself for being injured and feeling guilty about it, you know, those emotions can get in the way of your healing. So that can be an important process to help your athlete to be willing to forgive themselves for that injury and accept your body the way it is now. And sometimes that can take a little while. It's not just an overnight process, but being able to realize that they are, you know, doing that self-blaming and that it's to realize that it's just something that happens. And usually, like with endurance sports, it could be an overuse injury, so there can be a lot going on. But just to be able to not blame themselves, but accept that it's part of the process of doing any sport, of using your body. And most athletes do get injured at some point, so just being able to kind of normalize it. And then another thing is secondary gain. So it's something, a belief that, you know, a lot of this happens with kids. They are sometimes kind of relieved that they're hurt or there's kind of hidden benefits of being injured. Like with a strained tendon, you might not have to face the tough competition, might not have to go to or if you're in a difficult job, you might not have to go to that job, an unpleasant job. You might get attention and sympathy for having an illness or injury. So there's that going on too, the secondary gain part, where you're sort of relieved. And it's something that you want to help athletes to resolve to speed up the healing process. So being able to recognize that it might be fearful. It might be a child is fearful of competition or having to face other athletes. So it's good to have them talk about that. And then the third area is grief. You know, that's something that's overlooked. It's a powerful emotional side of injury, that athletes often experience painful emotions. Like anger and anxiety, depression, and it's like when you have an injury, it's similar to grief. Psychologically, an injury is much like losing a loved one. It's like losing a family member. You lost your fitness or your ability to do your sport the way you could before, and you're mourning for that, and mourning that loss. So, you know, you remember how hard you've worked and how long it took you to get to that level of fitness before, and it can be really tough. I know I've been there myself. You can probably hear it in my voice, feeling like, if you had a certain goal to do a race and then you're not able to do that, you feel like it's all that training's been lost. And so there's that going on, that grief process, and, you know, you can help athletes work through the anger, the shock of it, if it could be something that happened really quickly, an injury, or it could be something that happens over time. So you can let people know, let your athletes know that grief is a normal process, and it's okay to go through that and to go through the stages of grief, just like you would go through stages of grief for loss of someone you love. So you imagine, you know, there could be anger, there could be a frustration, there could be a period of depression, and then but hopefully you come to an acceptance that it's okay, I'm injured, I got to do something about this, or accept it, or move, do something to help myself heal. So then once you've got, you help the athletes understand how an injury affects their mind with, you know, maybe either self-blame or secondary gain or grief, those sorts of things, then you want to help them to move forward. And so the critical thing there, a step is to, in the beginning, is to help your athletes to acknowledge, express the emotions that are triggered by your injury. So help them to talk about those things, the emotions, express those, and you know, it's okay to, and that's where we as performing edge coaches can use our empathy and really help them to understand. And if you've, each of you, if you've been through an injury yourself or some experience like that, you can tell the athlete, you know, relay your own experience, your own story, and that can really help the athlete to understand that you have been there too, and that you understand what they are going through. So that can go a long ways to helping an athlete, because if they know that you have been there, you understand that someone else has been there, it just helps them feel like they're not alone, and that then you can help them realize that and accept these emotions will pass. If you've been through this experience and been able to accept it, you can accept these emotions will pass. And the common reaction, you know, common reaction to injury is, you know, catastrophize it, say it's kind of, I'll never be the same, or, you know, this is the way it will always be, I'll never be able to compete at that level again. That's what we say to ourselves. But you want to help them develop ways of thinking to counter that that self-talk that is there when we're injured. So being able to, you know, see the possibilities. Maybe you can compete again, or maybe you can do your sport again on a different level or in a different way, or a different sport. Be able to, you know, use that word possibilities. I think that's really powerful. That's important. And then I think an important step with healing is to ask for the help that you need. And of course, we are the help, the number one, I think, area of help that athletes need is the mental part. But sometimes athletes also have difficulty asking for all kinds of assistance, like getting the proper medical diagnosis. And so finding the right doctor or finding the right medicine practitioner. So that's an issue you can work on with the visualization techniques, and also you know, helping the athlete just take good care of themselves, being able to show up for the physical therapy, medical appointments, doing their exercises, taking, you know, any needed medications, or buying rehab equipment, or getting to a gym if they need to, whatever it is that they need to do, eating properly and getting enough sleep, all those things you can help an athlete with, it's to take good care of themselves. That can seem like a big, huge task when you're injured, but it's really critical to have that, to make this recovery time possible and make it a top priority in your life, and that way they're going to be able to hopefully get back to where they were before. And so, and then a good thing to do too with athletes is to help them ask themselves, okay, what meaning does this injury have in my life? What meaning does this have? So, you know, these injuries, they have a stress component, or sometimes there's kind of inner conflict, like their lives might be out of balance and might be putting all their energy into training, overtraining. You know, most athletes train too much, and it's just a way, because that's all we know how to do, is train, and they might be neglecting their other work responsibilities or family or personal things. So that imbalance can contribute to dependence on exercise as your only outlet for all the mounting stress in other parts of your life. I know many athletes were doing that during the pandemic. You know, I was doing that a bit too when we found we couldn't do anything else and everything was closed up. I was overtraining and doing more swimming and biking and running than I usually do, and I had to be careful to not overtrain too much because, you know, I was stressed. We were all stressed with not knowing where things were going with the pandemic. So it's important to think about life balance and helping your athlete to get into that balance there. And so those situations can be you know, precursors to injury. So so I wanted to talk about just, you know, a couple things with helping your athletes to really get on target with their rehab and mental rehab as well as physical rehab, you know, focusing, helping them focus their minds. And you want to be able to understand your injury and its meaning and attitude toward, and your attitude toward it. So you can use imagery to explore the mental blocks that you have, might be having, that your athlete is having toward getting better. I mean, we've all got mental blocks, right? And so there's that, being able to understand the meaning. And then the second stage is to do visualization exercises that where you imagine yourself in the healing process, like I did when I was had the bunion surgery. Cause I actually had three bunion surgeries. I had to go through that process three times. And so there's a lot of learning that needs to go on there. So using visualization, imagine yourself in the healing process. Imagine yourself in the future when you'll be completely healed and healthy. Or in the case of other athletes, of people who are permanently disabled, you know, imagine a different scenario where they can do something and they can adapt to it and do, say, another sport or do their sport differently. And it's important to do that. So, yeah, people might be a little skeptical about, you know, what is possible, but you can really help them open up their minds to that picture. So, I just want to give you a quick little exercise you can do, that you can do with your athletes. And then, you know, next time on the 23rd of September, we'll have our next call, too, and we can talk more about ways that you can help athletes with healing. But, yeah, I just wanted to check in with everyone and see is this helpful so far, or what's most helpful for you? Anyone can jump in. Yeah, Anna L., are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Oh, yeah. So, can you think of athletes that might be helpful for this, or have you had something that, you know, rings true for you?
For me, I think meaning of injury is very important because sometimes they work too much and they don't respect enough the body, and injury is it's a way for the body to talk about the athlete and say that I need to be respected, and it obliged the athlete to understand his body. So I think meaning of injury is very important.
Yeah, exactly. So understanding your body, yeah, and how that works is really important, and the meaning of the injury. As we often ask, why is this happening right now in my life? You know, this is not the right time, kind of thing. But but there's never a good time for an injury. And it's a chance to learn a whole lot about yourself, really. That's when we learn the most, is when we're down and out, when we have difficult times. So, here's a thank you, Anna Ellen. It's great to share this information and to hear your feedback on it. I just wanted to give you a quick visualization exercise for understanding your injury. So I'll just go through this real quick and imagine that you could do this with your athletes, and I'll send this to you also. But, you know, have your athlete say sit down or lie down in a comfortable place, and you close your eyes and breathe deeply and relax. And you could try it yourself right now. And put or sit is fine. And you could put your awareness into that body part that hurts or that is not working well or something that's maybe stressful. And then get a feeling for the extent of what's happening in that area of your body, and imagine imagine what it looks like, how much it weighs, and just look at the boundaries between the injured part and the rest of your body, or maybe one side is healthy and the other side is not healthy, so you can imagine the difference there. And that, now just, you can talk to your injury as if it were a person, almost kind of give it a voice and ask your injury, what's it feeling? So let's say if you had a knee injury, you could ask your knee, what is it feeling right now? And find out what it needs and what it wants to tell you. So it's like you're having a dialogue with your body, and you ask what you need to do to heal yourself. And give your injury a chance to speak to you directly and pay close attention. Maybe you'll hear a pulsating sound, the heartbeat in that area of your body, or maybe you'll get some insights to what you need to do. So when you're doing this exercise, you ask your injury what it's feeling, like if it's a knee, say, what are you feeling right now? What do you need? And ask, what do you want to tell me? Those are really powerful questions. And then ask what you need to do to heal yourself. So ask directly to your, like, if it's a knee, say, ask your knee, what do I need to do to heal myself, to heal this knee injury? And then just listen and give your body a chance to talk. And it's basically your mind, going through just telling you, being quiet so that you can get more insights as to what you need. And our bodies are very intuitive, and we just need to listen, I think, sometimes to be able to know. So while you're doing this exercise, you might get different responses from yourself, from your injury. Maybe some positive, maybe some not so positive. You might hear something like, this is, of course, from within your mind. You could hear, it's all right to ask for help. It's okay to be sad. You can be angry. I am what you ask for. You might hear, take good care of yourself. Or you might hear something like, you're more upset than you know. Those kind of responses you might hear within yourself. And so you just want to pay attention to whatever your injury says, so you can use this in your visualization work that you do. And so don't worry if you get no response. You might have a more, just have more opportunities to do this exercise again, you might want to write down, that's a really key thing, is write down the feedback that you get. If you get an idea or get a thought in your mind from doing dialoguing with your body, write it down. And then while you're focused on your injury, you can do a visualization of healing and notice any images that come to you. Be aware of any sounds and sights and tastes or feelings that you associate with injury. You might see, you know, like if you're imagining your, say, an injured knee, you might feel see a red inflamed area, or you might hear, you know, a grating sound, or you might feel temperature differences, let's say from your left knee to your right knee. Just pay attention to those impressions so you can use them in your further imagery sessions. So, and then another visualization part of it you can do is imagine looking into a pond or looking into, a little bit of water, a reflecting pond. You can see yourself there with your injury. So you can look into a pond and see yourself reflect your own reflection and see, do you look different or do you seem to be in pain or upset, or notice how does your body look? And then the next part is just bringing up an image that symbolizes your injury. You might see a strained tendon or a rope tied in knots, or an inflamed ankle might seem as a bit of hot coal. So just give your image a voice and let it speak to you and ask it to tell you anything you need to understand about your injury. So you can, here's a good question to ask. Just please tell me what I need to know to be healed. So it's kind of like you're asking your body, you're dialoguing with your body and just saying, please tell me what I need to know to be healed. So you're being really open about it. And ask yourself, what your injury or what your frustration is trying to tell you. And then it's good to just take a different perspective on your injury. Look at it as you may have created something, look at it as something that you might have created and that you can help yourself to understand how you can heal and how you can move forward at this time, and just be able to accept everything you hear with an open mind, and just be able to do this visualization, say, once or twice a day, so you begin to receive some answers. And then you can use that information to do more imagery healing. So I think that's a little imagery process that you can do, and to be able to kind of see yourself, imagine scenes of getting stronger, imagine yourself being able to heal and get back to where you were normally. I was doing this while I was having my foot injury, imagining it healing, and imagine getting back to walking again, to walk slowly, walk without the crutches, and to enhance flexibility and be able to increase your training. And that's all going to, all of that's going to really help your athlete to get motivated, to stay positive, because that's a huge part of being able to heal, when you can stay positive and feel like you're making a little bit of progress. And that can help you to, and also patience, learning patience. As athletes, we're not very patient most of the time, and we get frustrated and think, why isn't this happening faster? And it's just something that this process is telling us to slow down, and it's okay to slow down, and it might take longer than you wish, that healing process. But with time and patience, the healing does come. So, I just wanted to give you those examples there, I'll just give you a couple of healing words here to be able to finish with some examples of power word affirmations. You could say to yourself, I forgive myself for getting hurt, healing energy surrounds me, I'm willing to take responsibility for my injury and my healing. You can say, I can cope by focusing on my progress each day. I'm willing to give up my injury. I'm releasing my sadness and anger. I'm keeping my spirits up. I'm staying motivated. I'm staying positive. I'm taking good care of myself. That's a really important one to say a few times. I'm taking good care of myself every day. And say to yourself, my body is my friend, you know. Be able to be friends with your body and be positive about it. Work with your body. You can say, I'm working with my body to recover. I'm open to discovering the meaning of my injury. You can say, I have all the resources I need inside to create my own healing. So I'll say that one again. It's very powerful. I have all the resources I need inside to create my own healing. And say, my body and mind are growing stronger and healthier every day. My body and mind are growing stronger and healthier every day. So those are some healing affirmations or power word statements you can say to yourself to be able to give to stay positive and to really include in your visualization. So those are some ideas that I want to give you today about working with an injury. And, just to finish up with any feedback that you have about how you can use this or what stood out for you, what's most powerful, maybe something you could use. Anyone can jump in. I know, Anna L., are you still there? You can jump in with any ideas. Yeah. And what was anything that you feel like you could use or what's helpful for you?
I think visualization is very good because I talk to her body, communicate with the body, and talk to the body as if the body is a friend. I think it's a good solution because it creates a solidarity between the athlete and his body. And I think which is important is in the visualization, say, thank you, my body, for everything that you did. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for everything that you will do. I think sometimes we consider the body for granted and we don't realize every effort that we ask to the body.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I like that, what you said, Anna Ellen. That's great. Yeah, it's bringing in that whole aspect of gratefulness, right, and thankfulness. For what our body can do, what it's done all these years for us, and instead of just getting upset, angry for what we can't do, you know, being grateful for what we can do and having a vision for the future for what's possible too. So that's great. So great talking with you today, and great talking with all of you. It's always an honor to work with you. And congratulations to Anna L. on getting your new client. It was your new athlete was doing ping pong. That's exciting. And it's great. So I look forward to talking with you. I'll have the replay up shortly here. I'll send you the link for the replay of our call here. And then our next call will be on September the 23rd. So that'll be fun to do that. We can explore more of this topic. So thank you. Have a great day. Great talking with you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. And, we'll stay in touch. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, and I'll be happy to answer them on our next email or our next call. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.